And now, the Connecticut Business Blend with the Hartford Business Journal on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. So Connecticut, I saw that. We had job losses last month. Is that what happened?
Yeah, so Connecticut had, going into this year, we had 6 months of consecutive job gains. That was actually snapped in July. There's a couple of news tidbits here. So the Labor Department revised its job totals for July, which was originally a gain of about 700 jobs. Instead, they marked that down to loss of 900 jobs. And then on top of that, the state lost about 2,200 jobs in August. So, Connecticut had gone for a while with job gains, but now we're starting to see the negative territory. We don't know if this is going to be, a broader trend that happens in the next coming months, or if it signals some sort of recession. It does probably indicate that some layoffs are happening at companies. I mean, layoffs are always happening, but maybe there's an uptick in it. But the bigger issue is, and the unemployment rate is still very low at 3.4%. Actually, our unemployment rate dropped last month, and the national rate is 4.2%. So Connecticut is faring good in that respect, but one of the issues is the labor shortage. It's still persisting. In fact, the Labor Department has, identified manufacturing had job losses in the quarter, not because of layoffs or firings. It's because manufacturers aren't keeping up with the pace of retirement of their workers. So that's really a critical issue for Connecticut. We know there's been a lot of talk about workforce development, but, this is where it really has an impact on the economy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if we've always been slow growth, at least, of late, but that kind of job loss kind of implies no growth, right? I mean, I'm not saying we're going to be in a state recession. We talked with Jill Schlesinger earlier. A lot of economists still don't necessarily see it nationally, but clearly, like even with a 0.5% rate cut, I mean, there's some nervousness out there for the broader economy.
Yeah, overall, Connecticut has gained 12,800 jobs for the year, so we're still in plus territory there. And last year, I think we gained about 16,000 to 18,000 jobs overall. So the performance, it's not, I wouldn't call it groundbreaking or epic, but, we have slow growth has sort of been the phrase that I've used to describe Connecticut's economy. But, if we start to go in that negative territory for several consecutive quarters, then, I think we'll have to keep an eye on that and where it heads from there.
Greg Bordonaro with the Hartford Business Journal, of course, the Connecticut Business Blend every Monday at 8:50 here on WTIC. So we've talked a lot, I think, in the past about how sort of New Haven wants to be kind of a biotech hub, and it seems like maybe it's not working out so well.
Yeah, I think they have developed a small hub. I think sometimes when we talk about it, it's this, this big thing that could compete with, Boston and MIT and Harvard. We're definitely not there yet. And the bigger picture is, lack of growth in bioscience in New Haven, actually, in terms of a jobs perspective. I gave the statistics before, but since 2001, Connecticut has actually lost 13% of its bioscience jobs. Wow. And again, a lot of it comes with the risks of the industry itself. All these are, bioscience companies, what they're doing is they're experimenting with drugs. And when they find out that these drugs don't work or they're not as effective or investor interest, tapers down, that automatically leads to sort of layoffs and downsizing. And that's what you're seeing at a couple of companies. We talked about Sanofi, which bought Protein Sciences a few years ago. They announced they're pulling out of the Connecticut market. And then another company, BioXcel, they recently announced that they did a 28% workforce reduction within their company. They had about 54 employees. It was a second layoff in 2 years. They cut about 50% of their workforce last year. They have several drug candidates. They're basically shrinking their portfolio, and they're going to be focusing on 1 to 2 drug candidates. That one is a treatment for agitation associated with Alzheimer's disease. So it's just just goes to show you these are high risk endeavors. Also, venture funding over the last couple of years has gone down significantly across the U.S. And venture funding is sort of a lifeline for bioscience companies. Right. They need this capital because they're not generating a lot of revenue, or sometimes not even generating any revenue for the first 5 to 10 years as they try to bring these drugs to market, which takes a long time and it's expensive.
But I do like the model in the sense that you have all this brain power and innovation coming out of Yale that you would want to keep some of that here, to make it a good environment. And that's kind of what, isn't that kind of what they're trying to do? Is it to make it a place where Yale, they can start their businesses here and maybe some will stay here and succeed here?
Yeah, and Yale has significantly ramped up its efforts in terms of, commercializing its research. So I think the future is bright, but in terms of the bioscience industry sort of becoming this you know, 10,000 a year new jobs type of industry. I don't see that anytime soon. And, you know, again, because the ebbs and flows of the industry. Also, again, the venture capital funding is the lifeblood. Connecticut doesn't have a lot of venture capital funding in the state. You know, Connecticut Innovations, which is a quasi-public agency, they help back a lot of Connecticut startups and bioscience companies. But you really need some of those other venture funds that are in Boston and even, you know, California to come to Connecticut and invest in these companies.
You know, before we get into the impact of Michael Freemuth, I think maybe a lot of people listening don't know what CRDA is. Can you just, what do they do?
Sure. The Capital Region Development Authority was established in 2012 under the Malloy administration. And basically what they do is they subsidize apartment housing, mostly market rate apartments with a small bit of affordable units mixed in there. And they've been really a key catalyst in helping convert old dilapidated office buildings in downtown Hartford into new housing and also new ground up development. All that development happening around the baseball stadium, that's all helped financed by CRDA. And what they do is kind of provide a gap financing. So, you know, a traditional bank probably would not finance all these deals in Hartford because right. The risk is too high. Right. A lot of that's based on what you could get back for rents. And, you know, building market rate apartments is expensive in any city, particularly Hartford. What CRDA has done is it's put that little gap, low interest gap financing to help sort of get developers over the hump. And their model has been really successful. They've, under Mike Freemuth's leadership, they've added over 3,300 apartments, and there's 2,500 more in the pipeline. Hartford was mostly known as a corporate office park for, you know, decades. They were behind the curve in terms of housing. CRDA has helped jumpstart some of that apartment housing, which is more necessary now than ever because of fewer workers in the office on a regular basis.
So he's retiring. Do we know if anyone's who's going to be his replacement?
No, they're going to be searching. So he's retiring next June. So he did give them a long leadway to that. So they're going to be beginning a search for his replacement. You know, he wanted to stay on. Mike wanted to stay on until the Excel Center funding renovation was in place and ready to move forward. He spent years trying to get the Excel Center situation straightened out. You know, whether you agree or disagree with that investment in the facility, he's been pushing for an update to the Excel Center. He says it's necessary. So now that funding is officially sort of, gone through, and they'll probably start construction by the time he steps down, and then he could have his sort of successor take over from there. So that's kind of the strategy.
Got it. Greg Bordenero from the Hartford Business Journal joining us here on, of course, the Connecticut Business Blend on Mondays at 8:50 on WTIC. Enfield, $100 million, what's it go to?
Yeah, so they're looking at a private development, $100 million riverfront development along the Connecticut River. It would be a several-phase development that would add over 300 apartments over time, commercial, retail space. But there's a couple of interesting things. It would be located near a new train station that's being built there that'll connect the Hartford line. So it's an example of that transit-oriented development that the state's been pushing to have apartments near a train that people can hop on to go to work or wherever else they need to go. It's going to be redeveloping of a sort of a brownfield, an old manufacturing site, another key area for Connecticut, and also a waterfront development, which, you know, for the most part, Connecticut has underutilized the Connecticut River and its waterfront development there. You know, Hartford basically doesn't have any sort of real commercial development along the waterfront. It has been a focus, so they're going to. This is the plan there, a nice waterfront property, mostly market rate apartments. It will require probably significant state backing. They're already looking for a $4 million brownfield remediation grant and probably more funding throughout that. And Enfield has a couple other big projects in the pipeline too. You know, the mall redevelopment there is still sort of in process, which will also require, you know, a lot of state backing to move that forward as well.
Yeah, the mall. Oof, that's sad. Greg, thanks so much. Great job as always. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep, thanks.
All right, Greg Bordenero from the Hartford Business Journal. Again, you go to hartfordbusiness.com. A lot of really interesting content on a regular basis. And they were talking about there's also a big renovation going to happen at the Aviation Museum up in Windsor Locks, and that place is awesome. I love that place. I mean, people don't know what they have inside those hangars. They have so many cool things, the history of Sikorsky and everything else, and they're going to get a little reno.